Chapter 15. Threads. I do not believe we killed it, brothers. I do not think the primordial annihilator can be harmed in the way that a mortal thing can, but we drove it back. We drove it out. We hurt it for a while, at least. When we emerged, the battle was done. The Wolf King had engaged Magnus in monumental single combat and broken his spine. Then, at the very moment when we bested the demon in the temple hall, sorcery boiled loose across the entire ruined world. Blood rain fell. The Crimson King and those of his thousand sons who had survived vanished, fleeing by means of their prescribed magic. Only in this way could they escape total extermination by the rout. Let this lesson be remembered. Bloody rain was still falling as we regrouped. The sky was nightfall dark, black as a raven's wing feathers, and underlit by the firestorms engulfing the glass city. With Godsmote, who had recovered from his injuries enough to walk, I stayed with Bear as the wolf priests tended his arm. Bear's face was impassive. He showed no hint of pain or discomfort as the priests worked at his stump with bone cutters and hooks. An augmetic would be fitted in time, but I saw him grimace slightly as a dreadnought thumped by our position in the streaming downpour. Drops of blood rain beaded Bear's face. "I don't mind the arm," he grumbled. "Not when you consider." "Consider what?" I asked. "It's supposed to be an honour," said Godsmote, nodding towards the dreadnought as it moved away. "But who wants to lose so much they end up like that? That's no way to live forever." Bear nodded grimly. "What I don't understand," I said, "is how you broke its spell. It knew the names of every one of us, and yet that power had no mastery over you." "It's probably because it learned all our names from you, Scald," Godsmote said, "and you've never got his name right. Not since the first day you came to us." I have remarked that whatever put the fluency in Juvik and Hwergen into my mind did a good but imperfect job. Sometimes, at points of stress or when distracted, I lapse and misspeak a word, regressing to the low Gothic of my former life. For reasons I cannot explain, this is especially frequent in the case of terms for birds and animals. From the outset, my mind had decided that Bear's name was Bear. But that was the low Gothic translation. It was a habit that had stuck, and Bear, forever taciturn, had never seen fit to correct me. In the language of the Vilka Fenrica, his name was Bjorn. I recognize my failing, and will be sure to correct it. Once Prospero had burned, I felt great pity for the wolves, not for their losses, which were great and lamentable, but for their emptiness. Their anger was spent, and though complete, their victory seemed hollow. They stood around me, silent and hunched, mongrel figures in the blackened ruin, washed by the blood-dark rain. Their fury was exhausted because they had run out of enemies to kill. They seemed lost, as if they did not know what to do next. They would not take part in any rebuilding or recovery. They would not manage the aftermath. The Vilka Fenrica only know how to do one thing. Sparks fly up. Memories contract like the flesh on a corpse, tightening on the increasingly pronounced bones, pulling the jaws open in a silent scream. In deep lakes of black water, we can watch the reflections of sidereal time pass overhead. I see the wolves as inheritors, the last guardians of an ancient domain that is so old and crumbling into neglect it has become an incomprehensible ruin. Still, they guard it, like dogs left to guard a house they do not understand. As long as they endure, their accounts will live on, told and retold by skalds like me, to men like you. A fire will be burning. We will smell the copal resin smoking into the air. Perhaps I will not see the men around me, but I will see their shadows cast up the cave wall by the spitting fire, like cave art lent the illusion of movement by the inconstant flames. I will try to listen to what is being said by the men during the long, mumbling conversations so that I can hear all the secrets of the world and learn every account from the very first to the very last. In the coldest, deepest part of the cave, there is a blackness cut by a cold blue glow. The air smells sterile, like rock in a dry polar highland that lacks any water to form ice. It is far away from the soft warmth and the firelight of the cave, far away from the fraternity of murmuring voices and the smell of smouldering resin. It is there I will be forced to sleep out most of my days. I am too dangerous to keep among the rout, too compromised. I know too much, and too much knows me. But the Vilka Fenrika have grown fond of me, and with that strange, gruff sentimentality of theirs, they cannot bring themselves to quickly and mercifully cut my thread. So I will be put to sleep in the deep cold of the ice, in stasis far below the eight, with only Cormac Dodd and the other muttering dreadnoughts as companions. None of us like it there. None of us choose to be there. We miss the firelight. We miss the sunlight. We've dreamed the same dreams 100 times over, 1,000 times. We know them off by heart. We don't choose the dark. Nevertheless, once in a while, when we are disturbed and revived, we are never content to see the daylight. If you have to come and wake us, times are not good. I am standing in the high meadow at Azaheim, where I last saw Hieroth Longfang alive, but it is the Wolf King who is towering at my side. The air is as clear as glass. To the west of us, beyond a vast rolling field of snow and a mighty evergreen forest, mountains rise. They are white, as clean and sharp as Carnassials. I know full well that the grey skies behind them aren't storm clouds. They are more mountains, greater mountains, mountains so immense the sheer scale of them breaks a man's spirit. Where their crags end, buried like thorns in the skin of the sky, the wrath of the winter season Fenrisian storms is gathering and clotting, angry as patriarch gods and malign as trickster demons. It is the last hour of the last day before I voluntarily enter stasis. You understand why, asks the Wolf King at my side. His voice is a wet leopard purr. I do, I say. I understand. Ogvai, he speaks highly of your skills as a scald. The Jarl is kind. He's honest. That's why I keep him. But you understand you can't play out a game with a broken piece on the board. I understand. The accounts, though, we don't want to lose them. Future generations should hear them and learn from them. I'll conserve them for you, Lord, I say. They will be here in my head, ready to tell. Good, he says. Make sure of it. I won't be around to watch over the Vilka Fenrika forever. When I'm gone, you'd better make sure they hear the stories. I laugh, thinking he's joking. You'll never be gone, Lord, I say. Never is a long time, Scald, he replies. I'm tough, but I'm not that tough. Just because something's never happened, it doesn't mean it never will. There's a first time for everything. Exactly, he grunts. The unprecedented, like Astartes fighting Astartes, like the rout being called to sanction another legion. That, he answers. He laughs, but it is a sad sound. Yolda, no, that's not unprecedented. I am lost for a reply. I am never sure when he is joking. We're looking towards the forest line, the first flakes of snow are fluttering down. Are there wolves on Fenris? I ask. Go and look for yourself, he tells me. Go on. I look at him. He nods. I start towards the forest line across the snow. I begin to run. I pull my pelt, the one Berkor gave me, tight around me like a second skin. In the enormous darkness under the evergreens, I see eyes staring at me, luminous, gold, and black-pinned. They are waiting for me, 10,000 pairs of eyes, looking out at me from the shadows of the forest. I am not afraid. I am not afraid of the wolves anymore. Behind me, the Wolf King watches me until I've disappeared into the trees. Until next winter, he says. Prospero Burns was written by Dan Abnett and read by Gareth Armstrong. It was produced by Heavy Entertainment for Black Library. This work is copyrighted by Games Workshop Limited, 2010. All rights reserved.